Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, and we have a special guest, Aaron Ashley Simon, host of Cheddar Esports. Aaron, what's up?
I'm good. This is an honor to be on here.
Yeah, finally, after going back and forth, we finally made this happen. And you're the last guest of 2019.
I'm the last guest. Yes.
There's a reason why I wanted this to be like this. So I've been following you for a while, and you're always posting, like, you know, advice. And
yeah.
I don't know, maybe you just wake up in the morning like, oh, you know what? I want to send out some good vibes to my followers. You know, that's why I'm like, you know what? I want to have a great conversation with her about that stuff. So, okay. But first, tell us, for those that don't know about you, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so my name is Aaron Ashley Simon. Like Danny said, I'm the host for Cheddar Esports. Oh my gosh, I've been doing media work for like 10 years. Started out in traditional sports. I covered high school basketball, and then I also ended up covering like other sports, football, soccer, etc. Was a D1 athlete, played soccer at the University of Kentucky, and pretty much I've been doing this for, and not even necessarily like hosting, but I was actually a print and digital journalist first. And I did that and covered a lot of different stories. Was able to cover, you know, the Giants and Eagles game where Victor Cruz got hurt. I even had to cover a murder case when I was at my university. I interned at a local newspaper, and just happened that a crazy murder case happened and some other crazy charges happened. So I have a very well-versed background within media. So I did first some work for the Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
And then I left there and I did work for Diddy's television network, Revolt TV. So I worked in music media, was part of the social team and digital team. But then they eventually graduated me to being a producer for TV.
Okay.
And, but I'm always someone who likes to create my own content. I like to have my own works. When I was 16, I had this blog when I was covering high school basketball and, that alone got me like well over millions of views. CBS, Fox Sports, ESPN, people were watching it. And so I just have a gift for like creating content and like building something from the ground up. So I've always wanted to do it because I love the feeling of creating something and just seeing people be happy or informed or excited or even mad. Like, I don't care as long as it impacts a community or people. And then how I got into actually doing broadcasting work is that the NBA 2K League, they were doing a Twitch program called The Post Up. My friend, they asked him to do it and they wanted another person, preferably a woman. And so he asked me to do it. And I've never been in front of the camera, except for my grassroots podcast, this podcast my friend Brandon Kilbeach Hall and I started. But aside from that, I never really did any broadcasting work. I didn't go to school for broadcasting. So certain things like reading from teleprompter, you know, enunciate certain words and stuff, I just did that naturally.
Were you nervous at first?
No, because I've been like, I've never, that stuff never really made me nervous just because I've always been comfortable in front of the camera and more recently. But the work that I used to do when I was a print and digital journalist, I used to have to interview sometimes in front of camera. So I've gotten more comfortable with that. And then over time with the podcast, we've been recording for the past 2 years every single Sunday. So it's like I've gotten used to the fact that there's a camera there and people can see my reactions and everything like that. And so by the time that I did the Twitch show, I was a little more comfortable. There are certain things I just had to learn to become better in front of the camera. And then from there, I met Brandon, who's one of our producers here. I met him at Red Bull Conquest in DC. And Amanda Stevens actually connected us. And I said, hey, if you're looking for anyone for camera work, let me know. And literally, like, I would say maybe a week or two later, I was contacted, did screen testing, all that stuff, did some episodes with Jimmy. And then,
the rest is history.
The rest is history, right? And I'm here.
So what, like, you always been a fan of esports or just traditional sports?
So I've actually watched esports before, but not as much, just because with my job, whether it's music or whether it was covering traditional sports, I had to really just focus in on that. But I've been a gamer since day one. Like, the first video game I've ever played was Sonic the Hedgehog on Sega Genesis.
Okay.
And I pretty much owned every single video game console system, you know, out there. Yeah, so I have, I've always been into video games, but in terms of the competitive scene, I would say I started paying attention within like the last like 3 years, 4 years on and off. And and then also like I started to notice that like people like Lupe Fiasco were getting involved in it. And so I started kind of like watching a little bit more. But I didn't really jump so much into the scene until recently, which was a big transitional moment for me. For 2K though, I knew more about that, especially because the 2K League started sooner. And when it came to like games like FIFA and so forth, I play those games and I know sports enough that like watching those then in the competitive scene is very easy. But in terms of like Overwatch and League of Legends, that stuff was just, I learned about those things a lot more recently in terms of the esports side of it.
And you met a lot of players too, right? So was there any like stories of like, oh man, I can't believe this is happening. Maybe you went to like an event or a player that, because I love talking to pro players, like, I want to know more about their story, because I feel like, especially with 2K, they have the game, but they're not really focusing much on the players. So it's good to know, so there could be like a connection with them, you know. So, was there anything that maybe changed your opinion about esports because of that, like a player or maybe a something behind
the scenes?
To
be honest, I've never had any sort. I've never had like a preset opinion of esports, and part of it is because of my journalism background, like just the fact of like any situation you go into, you never make assumptions, you kind of take everything in and learn and ask questions, which is exactly what I did when I was at Red Bull Conquest. I asked so many questions, especially to Amanda Stevens. I'm like, why is it set up like this? What's going on over here? What is this fighting game? I've never heard of this fighting game. Like, I'm always asking questions, and even now, like, I still ask a lot of questions. And I think for me, I very much quickly, I saw the connection that esports had with the likes of traditional sports and how things are set up. And now the connection's even stronger because we're seeing a lot more traditional sports people, especially from the business side, marketing side, who are moving on over to esports, because esports was growing. You know, there's obviously conversations about the financial aspects of it, but in order for esports to really grow, it needs a more sound structural foundation and business foundation. And that's something that I realize. And that's why I, even on Cheddar Esports, I really try to talk about the business side, the contract side, and et cetera. Because very much when it comes to any new industry, right, whether it is hip hop or certain sports or et cetera, there is that lack of understanding when it comes from, when it comes to like the business side and knowing that like you should hire a lawyer to look over your contracts and, you know, what is an NDA and just all these really basic stuff. And I realized that because the esports scene is very young, these were the things that people didn't quite understand. And so I started to see kind of like these gaps or these loopholes. I forget who tweeted it. I do want to give them credit because they did put out a tweet today saying essentially that they advise everyone to at least work at a non-endemic or non-esports company.
I saw that today too.
Velia, I think it's like it's at V-E-E-L-I-A-X-O. And the tweet itself wasn't, I understood the tone behind the tweet wasn't like aggressive or passive aggressive or meant to be mean, but I agree. You should have some sort of knowledge or background outside of esports that you can apply into the scene, because we're starting to see a lot of people who are non-endemic people coming into the scene. And for you to have that kind of crossover understanding of esports and business or esports and marketing outside is only going to help this industry better. We need diverse voices and perspectives to have this be financially and structurally sound. So I've been able to kind of gather all this just from going into the scene and just literally listening and watching, which is mostly what I did. But it was funny though, because a lot of people, when I first started doing some work in the scene, people looked at me and I guess I don't appear to look like I am a gamer. And so
why is that?
I don't know, but that, like I've had people ask me like, are you a player's girlfriend or this? I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, so you're just, are you just interested? You just watch it? I'm like, no, I'm actually covering, like I'm covering this event. And they're like, oh, But that was when I first started out. Now okay. it's, you know, people, you know, a good amount of people at least know about Cheddar Esports or watch. So it's been a lot. It's been an easier process in terms of that aspect of it, at least.
And, you know, I'm happy that I got to see you tweet that you traveled to
Japan.
First time in Japan?
Yeah, first time ever.
And it was for Rainbow Six, right?
Yes.
So I have friends over there at Ubisoft, so shout out to them. So it was really cool seeing that you went over there, man. So how was that experience going over there?
Oh my gosh, it was so much fun. And I think it was like, for me, it was even more fun because I brought one of my friends. His name is Brian Summers. He's a photographer, but he's never done photography and videography within esports. And it was kind of a last minute thing that we needed someone. So I asked him to come with me. And Japan has always been on my bucket list. It's one of those countries that I've always, especially being a gamer, I've always wanted to go there, right?
Same here.
And for me, I didn't even care if it was Tokyo or not. I just wanted to go because I'm someone who likes to be out of my comfort zone in a positive way. And so when we went there, it was phenomenal. It was so beautiful and everyone was so nice. Like even when we had to get people to order taxis for us because they didn't speak English, we still figured it out and they helped us. And I even went to like a Sega arcade there. The food was delicious. And then covering the Rainbow Six Siege Grand Finals there was an awesome experience. And then I was able to try out the new operators for Rainbow Six, which are super dope. I can't wait until they drop them. And just to be able to go to an esports competition, but in a different country, and just see how the Japanese market, how this game resonated with them, and how they respond, and how just things are done over there. I love doing these things, and I love traveling because I'm such a nerd when it comes for learning, and I'm so observant, and so I pay attention to everything, and just seeing how. I mean, obviously, we all know that gaming and esports is universal, but to like really see how many people were out there, how there are players that didn't speak Japanese, the Japanese fans knew who they were still and were like major fans, like asking for autographs.
That's cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, it was super, super cool. And then like the cosplaying and then even like the little intricate things, like looking at the different, like how they have like different Coke cans, like they have like a Coca-Cola energy drink. Like that just blew my mind, and then learning about the money and stuff, and it was just a very eye-opening experience, and it just it made me so happy because it's like, you know, I'm this Black Latina 27-year-old who enter into this field and am really making something of it and really am setting an example and being an example for those who are going to follow in my footsteps to show that this is an industry that you can make a career out of, and it can take you anywhere as well. And the fact that, like, as long as you have an open mind and are open to the possibilities, it was honestly a special moment for me. It really was a changing moment for me.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
So how was 2019 for you? Was there any moments, difficult moments, and what do you see yourself doing in 2020? Any changes do you think you want to, because you learned from maybe mistakes or experience from this year?
Well,
we're going to go deep now. Now it's the deep conversations now.
So. Well, I guess my biggest question then would be like, when are we airing this episode?
Next week, Thursday.
Okay. So I guess I could say this. So
the day of the Video Game Awards, the same day.
Video Game Awards?
Yeah, the same day.
Okay. More than likely, I am going to be signed to an agency before 2020 is done.
Ooh, major moves, I see.
Major moves. Right now, it's between two.
Okay.
So it's either going to be CAA or Abrams Artist Agency.
Okay.
Their talent agency. And it's amazing because with Abrams, they have Ewok. They have a few others are signed there. Mm-hmm. And then with CAA is one of the biggest agencies. So for me, this is like such a very transcending moment. The fact that, you know, I started doing broadcasting work just over maybe like a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And to have these big agencies be interested and believe in what I'm doing and believe in the things that I want to do moving forward. That's like such a big thing. And I've been in talks with like several agencies for like the past few months, but those two are the ones that really resonated the most to me. You have, you know, Amber Howard over at Abrams, who is a black woman, and she's doing a phenomenal job in that space. And then over at CAA, mm-hmm. I have Matt and then David, and they've been doing a great job as well. And so 2020 is just more so going to be about taking things to the next level, doing more work outside of Cheddar Esports. You know, I've been doing work with AT&T as a content host for them within esports and gaming and helping them navigate this space. Mm-hmm. I want to do more, but with that, I've been talked with several brands in terms of like doing mentorship programs. I've been reached out about hosting events or being part of events that, you know, some of the top esports organizations actually want me to mm-hmm. do. So there's gonna be a lot more in terms of seeing me in this scene. Also, I will be streaming. Yes, I'm going to be consistently streaming.
Oh,
yes, gaming.
So where? Twitch, Mixer?
I don't know yet because just seeing so many people leaving Twitch and going to different platforms, I'm trying to figure out what will be make sense for me.
You know what? I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter the platform. To me, it's more of like you have your followers.
Yeah.
Your community is going to follow you no matter what. So it's you just got to find a place that you feel comfortable and just stream from there. So I really don't care much about like – who's you know, Twitch or Mixer or YouTube. But I think you'll be successful anywhere. Even Facebook, I think you'll be big anywhere.
Honestly, I think what I'm going to do starting out is I'm going to use the I forget the application name, but actually shout out to Gabe Oliveira, but he told me, Gabe and NARS told me, I'm going to stream on every single platform. I'm going to utilize this program to stream on all platforms just to see, because I'm a content strategist as well. That's another thing people don't know. I actually done content strategy for NBA players, big companies, et cetera. So that's probably what I'm going to do starting out just because I play with my friends right now. And I also play like I have friends who are artists, WNBA players, NBA players, like they want to stream. And so I'm just like, okay, like I do this on the side already, but we've had so many fun conversations and crazy moments and stuff. I'm like, you know what? I want to start showing people this, especially because like I host a gaming show and I feel like people don't, not that people don't feel, but they don't get to see me play video games as much because when I play on the show, it's different. Like I'm trying to focus on my script and
It's different.
It's a little bit.
And there's not really much engagement with the,
with
the viewers or listeners or whatever.
And also I can't cuss. I cuss when I play. It's so hard sometimes when I'm on Cheddar Esports and I'm playing. Like maybe like one or two times where like it slipped, but like I just have a whole new other personality. And then also like my friends who are artists or athletes, et cetera, like they have a whole different personality too when they're gaming. And so I want to be able to show that. And I want to really show people that, you know, there are people actually outside, like within culture, entertainment, music, who are massive gamers. But people don't really know because they don't get to show it as much. So not only am I going to have my streaming platform for like myself, but also for other people too. So the biggest things are the agency, streaming, and more events and panels. And one of my goals for next year is to make the 30 under 30. That's my goal.
Ooh, that's a
that's
good one.
That's my goal. You can
do it. You got time. You got a couple more years.
Well, the agencies I'm talking to, I straight up told them 30 under 30.
That's good.
But yeah, but the reason also I wanted to bring up those two agencies just because I feel like, you know, especially with what Abrams is doing and how they've been doing an amazing job with Ewok, like, especially if you're someone who's looking for agents within this field, like, make sure that you find the one that's best for you. It should not be always what's the biggest name or whatever. Make sure the contracts sound. Make sure that they are not going to treat you like another number. Be very upfront and honest with them. I know a lot of times, like sometimes people are afraid to tell people what they want. But at the end of the day, agencies work for you. So be upfront and honest about what you want at the end of the day. And the ones that are they're willing to negotiate and willing to go with what you want and see the bigger picture and understand what your brand is and have the value to help you get to where you are and are transparent about what they will do with you. That is so crucial and it's so important. Like when it comes to business, you can't, it's not about being friendly. It's more like you have to speak up for what is best for you. And both of those agencies have allowed me to be myself and to speak up. And they're super supportive, both of them. So that's why I wanted to give them a shout out. I'm probably going to select one when this comes out. So if you want to see which one, you got to head on over to my social media account.
All right, and you know, I like following you on Twitter and also like another social media outlets. But the thing that I like about you is that you're always posting advice to just content creators, right?
Yeah.
So why is it so important for you to send those messages to up and coming content creators out there? You know?
Well, I think it's important that up and coming content creators just understand the landscape, right? Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times when we look on social media, we'll see things blow up. And this goes back to the whole thing that we as human beings, unfortunately, naturally compare ourselves to other people and place value in ourselves based on what other people are doing. Mm-hmm. And it's so important to allow everyone to understand that there's several things, right? You may be doing the same content as someone else, but the reason why someone may be successful, it may just be timing. It may just be luck. Part of it is luck. And another thing too is maybe they understand their brand and what they're trying to put out. Creatives tend to be so creative, which is not a horrible thing, but then sometimes they forget the business and strategy side. I always tell people, a great idea is not a great idea if you're not executing it. Mm-hmm. If you're not putting it out, it's not a great idea. Mm-hmm. And so I try to tell people, like, go for it. Stop sitting on a concept because you're constantly comparing yourself to someone else. Put it out, but also understand that when you put it out, there's more work that needs to go to it aside from just content creation, right? Mm-hmm. You also have to build a sense of community. That's why you see a lot of streamers. And I know some people are always like maybe thinking like, why is that streamer more successful and not me? And well, mm-hmm. stop comparing. Like, they either just have something that their community wants. They probably understand who are the people in their community,
yeah.
or they just, you know, understand that like looks do help. So there's so many different things that kind of apply to how successful content can be. And having that understanding of you as a brand, having understanding of you as an individual and understanding of your community are like the most crucial things. And I hate to say this, creativity isn't the most important aspect. It's actually strategy. Creativity and strategy should be together. But you could be so creative and no one gives a crap about your content. It's the strategy that helps people care. It's the strategy, the storytelling, the narrative, the distribution. That is what makes people care about your content. Mm-hmm. So I try to have people understand these things. And then I try to make people in a positive manner. Like, yeah, it's difficult to grow content. But then I also try to let people know that like as you're growing your content, be happy with your progress. If you're averaging 100 viewers last week and now you're averaging 300 this week, that is progress. Mm-hmm. And you want to consistently have progress, because if you're going to pitch it to a big brand or a small brand, you want to show that you are gradually getting better, your community is getting bigger, your numbers are getting more. Like, I think people think that you have to have big numbers to get brands to support you. That's not true at all. Listen, I had only like 9,000 followers on Twitter and Instagram. And as a broadcaster or like a person who's just in front of the camera for esports, mm-hmm. I'm on the smaller side. But AT&T asked me to be a content host and they want to do more with me. Mm-hmm. But it's because I know what my strengths are, and it's not necessarily the numbers right now, because the numbers can come. It's not that hard. It's about understanding who you are as a person.
And I think a lot of companies probably see the potential, like, man, you know what? We got to work where I like her work. Maybe this will help us to promote our product. That's why you build relationships from that. Not just like, hey, it's a million followers. It's how many people are actually going to influence them to actually buy the product. You know, that's my view instead of.
But it all goes back to understanding you as a brand. Mm-hmm. Like, I came into the scene and I said, I'm not going to try to be an expert at a game. We already have plenty of those. Where are we lacking? We don't necessarily have people that are focusing on culture, and not just culture of esports, but culture outside of esports integrated within the scene. Mm-hmm. We don't have necessarily a whole lot of people that can easily, at least from of a talent side, can easily translate the conversations, whether it is the competitive scene, financially, business, marketing-wise, community-wise, of esports to non-endemic brands, and then non-endemic brands information to esports. There's not really that many people that are doing that, at least from my knowledge. I mean, if there's anyone, let me know, because I would love to connect with more people. Mm-hmm. But there's not a whole lot of people that are owning that lane. And I've spoken to so many different people in esports, especially when it comes to discussions about culture, right? Like, I remember the time when Ninja was like, in terms of like artists and hip-hop, Drake made gaming cool. No, that's actually false. You can go all the way back to Wu-Tang Clan. Mm-hmm. You can even go to Def Jam. I mean, and let's keep it a bug. Lupe Fiasco was in the scene well before Drake. So it's just like things like that to help the younger demographic understand, or just the youth, or just the community of esports and gaming. I was like, wow, that is an important thing to do. Or even like the fact that you have the Fortnite dances and how they're taken inspired by other people, like dances and stuff like that. And then why that's not a good thing, and understanding like even the business side of the thing, and people understanding what's the difference between copyright and public domain. Like there's not that many people that are taking the time to explain that to the esports community, because they need to understand these certain things, especially from a business perspective, so then they don't get screwed over. We're starting to see a lot more players and streamers and et cetera getting screwed over for contracts, right? But there's so many things from that they need to learn.
But that's their mistake, because they get so excited and they just want to sign just because, oh, I got signed and let me promote this online so it could look good. But then at the end of the day, a lot of rappers back in the days in the 70s and 80s, a lot of labels took advantage of them. You know, they gave them a quick little check and they're like, oh, we're signed and they're on TV. But then years later, they're broke because of that, of the stupid contracts.
But we can't, like, I'm not going to expect them to know. Like, how can you... You're not going to know what you don't know. And it's the responsibility of some of us within the community to let them know. The ones who want to do right by people. Obviously, when it comes to business, there's always going to be people that want to screw others over, right? But if we want to keep esports as a whole, you know, for the community and what has been established, there has to be an understanding and knowledge of the back end stuff. It just has to be. So that's why I was like, I found a place that I can help provide value, because, you know, even outside, like I have friends who've worked for NFL, MLB, NBA, lawyers, all that, and just getting the appropriate information from them in terms of just certain aspects that we're starting to see that players are getting affected by, be able to bring into the scene, I think, is the most important thing. And like I said, but that all goes back to me understanding what lane I can fill within this space.
Another thing too is I noticed that now we were talking about platforms, Twitch or Mixer. A lot of streamers are now jumping different platforms, thinking that they're gonna go, you know, big on like on, let's say, Mixer because Ninja's there.
Yeah,
that's a big mistake, man. I think people are just following whatever is popular instead of concentrating on their work, their content, the way how they're marketing themselves. Yeah. Right? What you think about that? Like, we're seeing more of that now.
I think that if you have an understanding of your community, and if you provide an incentive in order to bring your audience over to the platform that you're on, go for it. Once you have your loyal fans, they will go with you wherever. It'll just be some of the more casual fans that you'll let loose. But I don't think there's a problem with switching. And especially like as long as you have an understanding of like, okay, like if Ninja does go to this platform, like, are you watching Mixer? Are you seeing growth in it? Are you seeing a lane and opportunity? Are you seeing that they're starting to highlight different games or certain things more because he's over there? What is the value of Mixer? What's the pro to Mixer versus a Twitch? What's the value of Facebook? Facebook has a great search. They have a great ad system. They have the best social media ad systems when it comes to like promoting content via Facebook or Instagram, or even promoting links outside. I never spend money on any of the other platforms in terms of ads except Facebook, because I could do a targeted ad when most people have Facebook, most people have Instagram, and I can push them to YouTube, right? So it's like understanding that YouTube best searchability, so you could search, but then also they don't quite have the format of where people can go to and be able to see what are the top games right now and etc. So it's more so just understanding the pros and cons with each platform, and then also viewing who are the people on those platforms. Like, if you want to move to Mixer, if you have a sizable audience, you want to move to Mixer because you're like, okay, you know, I still have to compete with still like 10 people ahead of me who have like millions and millions of views, right? So I want to move to Mixer. I may lose people, but as long as I bring my loyal fans over, I can make those, I can recoup those other fans that I lost on Twitch, or they may come over. It's understanding the risks and understanding the platforms. I mean, the same thing is like, even like when you have content, right? For podcasts, you're gonna figure out, okay, where should I distribute my podcast? Does it make sense to go on Spotify when, you know, Spotify has a fine fine print that a lot of people don't know when mm-hmm. you're putting podcasts on there. Mm-hmm. Should I put it to AudioMac? Should I put it to iTunes? Should I do SoundCloud? Which one I should promote first? It's all, it's not so much, I don't think it's there's a problem with switching. It's just strategizing and understanding why you're making that switch. If you're just making that switch because Ninja's over there, then don't do that. But mm-hmm. if you can tell me, Ninja went over there and I've noticed that when it comes to Fortnite games, it increased by, you know, I'm starting to see that the numbers have been increasing. They've been putting on the homepage a lot more because he's there and I'm a Fortnite gamer. So that's why I feel like I can grow and build my audience there. If you can tell me that, I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. And because if you could still have your Twitch account, you can still like start it up again later on, or mm-hmm. you should be testing both. Sometimes stream on Mixer, sometimes stream on Twitch, and just see what is happening and do it for, that's another thing too. People like to do stuff for a week and then they'd be like, oh, it's not working. No, you need to do it for like 3 to 6 months to have efficient data to see if it works.
Yeah, I've seen that with people that just started a podcast. Here's the thing. There's a lot of like celebs that they have hundreds of thousands of followers, maybe a million. They try out to do podcasts because like, oh, you know what? I know it's going to be a huge success. They release it for like a couple of weeks and they see this not the same. It's not, they're not getting results, like no ads or whatever. They stop. It's like a failure. I'm like, everything takes time. You can't just expect that you're going to get a lot of downloads right away.
Yeah.
You got to build that, you know? So what do you think about that? Because a lot of content creators do that too with streaming. They're like, it's not working out. I'm not getting a lot of followers. I'm done. I give up.
Listen, the problem is people think that freaking content creating and getting these ad dollars is like them swiping on Tinder. Like you can instantly get like their gratification. That's not how it works. Most of the stuff in our life is instant gratification. I can't even lie about that. But mm-hmm. I think the thing that we have to understand is that businesses will not jump into a podcast unless there is efficient evidence that shows growth, or if there's some kind of value, because they do sponsor and associate themselves with smaller brands too. Mm-hmm. But it's just more so of you understanding like, what kind of brand are you? What kind of community do you serve? Like, what is your purpose within the community that you're in? And having that understanding and showing growth numbers, like whether people like it or not, numbers are important, but it's not about how big, it's all about how consistent are you throughout a long period of time. Mm-hmm. And I just think that people don't, I'll be honest, most content creators don't want to put in the work. They don't. Mm-hmm. They think that their content is the greatest thing since toasted bread. And I'm not saying that to be in a mean way. I think that we all, when we come up with a concept or idea, we think it's amazing. It's great.
I mean, we get excited.
Like, we get super excited, right? Yeah. But the problem is that mentality of us thinking like it's the greatest thing since toasted bread mm-hmm. causes us to feel a sense of failure the second we post it. But it's like, it's like this, for example, right? If freaking, you know, let's just say, I mean, this is kind of like it's not as accurate, but let's just say like McDonald's is starting a new, I don't know, they're doing like a new chicken sandwich, right?
Which I heard they are doing it.
Which, okay, so they yeah. start a new chicken sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so McDonald's has a chicken sandwich. Why should I even bother to go eat that? Mm-hmm. Like, you have to give a reason, and there's various different reasons to get people to check out your content or check out your chicken sandwich. Either they taste it and try it and like it, they go back again and taste and try it and like it again,
yeah.
or they get a famous celeb or influencer who co-signs, and then you go and taste the sandwich. You're like, oh my God, this is great. And then you do it. Or you put money to promote it and put it in front of a bunch of people and said, hey, try out this chicken sandwich. And then people like it. It's the same thing with content, right? You can either, there's only so much resources that you can give. Do you have the money to give it out? No, you don't have the money. Okay, well, then you have to work on actively putting it out, actively getting guests, actively doing these things to get a larger reach, understanding distribution. Like, mm-hmm. and I don't think that people understand how much work it even goes. Like, I've had comments with people before who are like, oh, I'll start a podcast. It's easy. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Like, you think that it's easy? And if you add video to it, you think that that's easy? I'm like, it's the same way you create any other content. There's structure and there's so many things that have to go into it. And when you start something new, whether it is food, a beverage, content piece, a show, mm-hmm. you're not going to automatically get the audience. It's your job and responsibility to hook the people and figure out what you are hooking them in with. And then when you find out the kinds of people are into your show, you have to find more people that are like them and build it. It's a progressive thing. Unless you want to put money behind it, then yes, you can speed up the process. If you want to put a lot of money behind it, which is what a lot of big brands and companies do, right? But mm-hmm. the thing is like we live in a society where everything is so instantaneous that people think that success is instantaneous, and it's not. Mm-hmm. All the successful people have been doing it for over a decade. It's so funny because a lot of people ask me, how can I get to where you are right now with what you do, Aaron? I'm like, all right, do media work for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, really? I'm like, yeah.
And I bet it wasn't easy at first. You know, it's like everything you learn from your mistakes, you get better and better, and then you master your craft.
But it's funny. When I say 10 years, people look at me crazy like, what? I'm like, yeah, do it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They're like, but you're only 27. I'm like, yeah, do it for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And you can get to this point.
Yeah.
Or if you want to expedite the process, you're just going to have to work more hours consistently. I'm like, it's everyone who's successful and where they are. It did not happen overnight. And just because you see the success now does not mean that you didn't see like the 10 years before, mm-hmm. the 5 years before, and et cetera. And some people just have natural gifts, right? Some people are it's easier because they have natural gifts. But everyone who doesn't, you need to work 10 times harder at what you want to do. And I just think that, like I said, because we live in a society where I like to call it what's that award that everyone gets? Oh, participation award. Mm-hmm. We're in the participation award era, and we're also in the instant gratification era. So I think that that also kind of contributes to content creators not realizing how much work and effort it really goes into making a solid product.
And I think one of the mistakes that I see from a lot of content creators is they work, stream for like 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. They get burned out. I think it's important also to take some time off and just stay away from streaming or working, because once you come back, you're like refreshed, you're ready to work, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a big mistake, man. People just work, and they will not take no breaks, man.
Well, the thing with that too is people have to understand the balance, their balance, right? And I always tell people balance is not, I don't mean 50-50. Everyone has different balances in what, in terms of like how much they can handle and then what they can't, right? Mm-hmm. So like in terms of my, for example, work personal life, right? I work a lot. But I would say maybe it's like sometimes it's 60 work, 40% personal. And sometimes I'm at like 80%, 75% work. Mm-hmm. And then the rest, you know, 20, 25 is more so personal. But I know myself well enough that I know when I need to cut it off and like relax and when I can go. Like, for example, I'm not doing anything outside of Cheddar Esports for the rest of December. Well, and Grassroots Podcast for December. Mm-hmm. This is my time to recoup. This is my time to kind of like do a recap and figure out what I did well, what I didn't do well, what I need to do better for next year. Mm-hmm. So then when I start and go in next year, I'm moving full force. Some people, you know, can stream for 8 hours a day and still have a life and be okay. And then some people need to have that balance. So it really depends. And so I think that that's like the thing is understanding what works well for you and knowing how many hours, you know, and know that it doesn't have to be 50-50. And don't let anyone tell you it has to be 50-50. Mm-hmm. It's just what works for you, what works for your personal life. You have a partner, what works for your partner as well? Do they understand where you're at? And just doing the decisions that make you happy and healthy. I think that's the crucial thing. But also understanding that depending on how many hours you put in, you have to, there's still a number of hours that someone else is streaming or doing more. So how are you going to level it out? What are you going to do? Are you going to like put your face out there more and go to events to kind of build those relationships more to help offset the hours that you're not streaming? It's just understanding and coming up with the plan that works best for you, works with anyone that you're with, and just making sure that you're happy and healthy at the end of the day. And also not being afraid to say no, even to really great opportunities. It's okay to say no.
Yeah, I've done that many times.
Same.
Yeah. So we almost going to finish here. But
yeah, no problem.
Was there any regrets out of the 10 years that you've been doing this? Was there anything like, man, you know what? I should have done this differently. Or was there any regrets from back then to now?
No.
No?
I don't have any regrets because I've always have not been afraid to go and do something. Mm-hmm. And if I messed up, even if I messed up big, it's a lesson.
Yeah.
I think that you know, and especially because of the support system I had, my parents are always like, oh, you want to do that? Go and do it. Because they know that whatever I did, I was going to give 110% and I wasn't going to drop it in a second. So mm-hmm. I was always able to do, you know, certain things. I think the biggest lesson I learned is just like knowing when to say no to stuff, knowing when it's appropriate to help someone versus like when you have to be a little bit more mindful, because there's certain people that want to sometimes use you for stuff, mm-hmm. not, you know, and also not being too nice when it comes to not I wouldn't say necessarily not be nice, but being more direct when it comes to business, making good business decisions. And then sometimes making good business decisions come from making bad ones before. So I'm never someone that like looks at these things as regrets. I more so look at them as lessons for me in order to basically improve later on and moving forward.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
And the last question is, what do you see yourself doing? Or let's say in the future, we're not around anymore.
Yeah.
People are going to find our content, our videos, our podcasts online in the future, right? So what is it you want people to remember you once we're already like done, not here in this planet, you know?
I want my legacy to be about helping people. I want people to, at the end of the day, be like, you know what? Aaron really cared about this community and really helped so many different people out here. Mm-hmm. You know, or whether they're like, you know, because of this workshop, I was able to have a successful show, esports show that I pitched, or, you know, Aaron connected me with this person. Now I have a job. Like for me, at the end of the day, the legacy comes from how you impact people's lives. And so for me, I'm more so figuring out like, how can I utilize what I do to help others mm-hmm. and to help this community and build it? Because at the end of the day, that is what a legacy is. It's how you made someone feel at the end of the day. How do you impact someone's life? How did you make their life better mm-hmm. in whatever way it is, whether it's watching a stream and making someone smile and laugh, whether it's helping them getting a job, or whether it's the fact that like, you know, now I'm donating money or giving scholarship money. Like that is what is the most important thing at the end of the day. So I want to be known for the positive impact in terms of helping people and helping community in and out of esports. I don't want to just have it just be one community. That's it. Mm-hmm. I want it to be various. So that's like the most important thing for me at the end of the day.
All right. So Aaron, mention your social media. People could follow you and you know, she's always posting some cool stuff, man. So go for it.
Hey, okay. So yeah, you guys can check out my tweets, my content, my work, and everything in between at Aaron A. Simon. That's pretty much on all platforms. E-R-I-N-A-S-I-M as in mother, O-N as in Nancy. I think the only platform that's not that is like TikTok. It's like Aaron A. Simon 1, but it is what it is. But you can check out everything on every single social platform there.
Yeah, and also check her out, Cheddar Esports, yes. Monday through Friday.
5 to 6 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks, Aaron. It was a lot of fun talking about all of this with
Thank you. I had so much fun. All right,
cool.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.